Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Records Guy Podcast, the show that focuses on topics and individuals from the field of records management. Here's your host, Richard Goreski.
Hello, and Happy New Year. I am Richard Goreski, and you are listening to the first Records Guy Podcast of 2018, the first of many in 2018, I hope. What is the Records Guy Podcast? Well, if you've heard any of the other shows I host, it will come as no surprise that I have a day job. I'm a records manager by trade, and the intent of this show is to promote topics and individuals from the field of records management and information governance. One such topic in need of promotion is the focus of today's show. I'm referring to the next ARMA Milwaukee meeting, of course. Mark your calendar to reserve Thursday, January 25th, 2018, because that is the date that AIM Wisconsin and ARMA Milwaukee join forces to host their annual joint meeting. Now, this particular meeting is very special, not just because it's being hosted by both AIM Wisconsin and ARMA Milwaukee, and not only because it's a social and networking event. Nope, this event is special because it's for Variety, the Children's Charity of Wisconsin. It's a charitable organization that helps kids with disabilities. Allow me to read from the official ARMA Milwaukee announcement. Please join us for our annual social and charity event hosted by the ARMA Milwaukee and AIM Wisconsin chapters. There will be several informal presentations, actually four in total. Four industry professionals will be presenting, talking about different projects that they are working on, and lots of networking. Appetizers and soft drinks will be served. Of course, guests are more than welcome. The event is to support Variety, the children's charity. It'll be held at the Italian Community Center in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Thursday, January 25th. Registration starting at 3:30 to 4. Presentations begin at 4 with the social and networking afterwards. The cost is $15 per person. And ARMA Milwaukee, I know AIM Wisconsin is going to be doing something as well, but ARMA Milwaukee has agreed to donate any proceeds after expenses to Variety. So just by showing up, you'll be helping support a very good cause. With me today to talk about this event are several of the participants, starting with Variety's director, Variety's development director, Bob Menefee. Bob, thank you for coming on the show today.
Hey, Rick, thank you very much for including me in this blog talk. I appreciate it.
I know that both AIM Wisconsin and ARMA Milwaukee are excited to team up with Variety, but some of our listeners may not be familiar with the wonderful things that you do. With that in mind, could you please tell our listeners a little bit about Variety?
Our mission statement is providing life-enriching assistance to Wisconsin children challenged by physical disabilities. We're assisting children in Wisconsin for over 80 years now. And through those years, our focus has always been on children, but the need in support of the children has varied based upon insurance coverage, government regulations, and that sort of thing. Through those years, we've provided a limb bank for children who needed artificial prosthesis. We were instrumental in starting the Epilepsy Center years ago, and we have been supporters of Children's Hospital in Wauwatosa. And in all cases, our focus is on children in need, and for the last 15 years, the focus has been on children with physical disabilities, where insurance does not provide coverage, nor can the family finances allow for what the child's need is.
Now, I know of many instances personally where Variety has made a difference in the life of children with disabilities. Is there a story or two in particular that you'd like to share as an example of the types of things donations will help support?
Yes, Rick. Currently, we're working with a 4-year-old Francis. He was born without legs, and his arms developed to just above his elbows. His parents applied to us to ask that we assist in providing an adaptive bike for Francis to use with his friends, cousins, etc. in the neighborhood. Emery's Bike Shop on Lisbon Road in Milwaukee has been a great supporter of ours, and we've also invited in Harley-Davidson. They have a group of engineers that are working with Brent Emery to craft a cycle for Francis. This particular cycle will be hand-pedaled, and I was with them last Friday as they work to customize this bike. So eventually, hopefully by April, May, we'll have Francis out on the sidewalk with all his friends. We couldn't do this without the support of our donors, and certainly the Harley-Davidson engineering team has been tremendous, and we're excited to share with the community the outcome that Francis is going to receive from us. This past December, as part of our Future Kids program, Santa hosted our families across the state of Wisconsin. So from Chippewa Falls to Franklin, Appleton down to Madison, variety children with their entire family were able to come to a theater, see a movie, enjoy some crafting before the movie, complimentary popcorn and soda, and, you know, everybody's excited about Christmas and Santa coming, and to see the excitement in those children's eyes as they're out with their families as a complete family unit in that type of environment. It's really exciting. It's just outstanding.
Pictures with Santa as well, correct?
I'm sorry, what?
Pictures with Santa as well, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Used to take pictures family
with
photos.
Santa, family photos, everybody together, and then it's kind of a tradition. We provide books for the all of the children, not just our variety child, but his siblings as well, to take home as kind of a gift from Santa. It's really exciting. We also have assisted recently two sisters, 6 and 4, who were adopted from China, Anna and Ivy Cosgrove. Two real sweeties, outgoing girls. They had significant surgery that had to be performed on them once they got with their parents. And in their case, as part of our Freedom program, we were able to provide those two girls adaptive bicycles as well. The Freedom program goes beyond bicycles. We provide chairs, lifts, modifications to the home where homes were necessary to accommodate a wheelchair, maybe simply as something as simple as a crutch. And we review those all with our advisory committee, and our executive director, Lisa Tomacek, and our board then approve. And through that process, we assist many children.
It's such a worthy cause. I can't say enough about it. And now let me get something straight, though. You'll be at the AIM ARMA meeting this coming January 25th, right, to accept donations from individuals and organizations?
Rick, we're absolutely, I'm going to be there. This is so exciting. It's about me being an ambassador into the community and sharing with as many people as possible our mission and improving the brand recognition of variety throughout the state of Wisconsin. I'll be able to answer any questions members have that evening, certainly.
Okay, and is it they can donate via cash or check only, or do you have a credit card attachment to your phone or something of that nature? How can donations be made?
Oh, yes. I'll be able to accept donations. Certainly cash or checks are great. I'll also have a donation cards available to those that are interested where they can pledge donations, make donations with the card, give us their credit card information so we can process it. And listeners and members of your group can always visit our website, www.varietywi.org, and on that website they can donate as well.
That was going to be my next question. Do you also have a newsletter or something like that that people could look up, learn more about Variety through?
Yes. Again, visit Variety, VarietyWi.org. On our website, you'll see recently posted newsletters that we've sent out to the donor community as well as to our families. And on that website, you can look at several of the programs we have. The focus of our effort is in three areas. One is what I mentioned with adaptive bikes and other items to improve the mobility of our children, and that's the Freedom Program. The Future Kids Program is where we provide, with the donations from our donors, opportunities for our children and their families to go out into the community, whether it's Discovery World, the zoo, museums, movies, as I mentioned before. And that Freedom Program ties, Future Kids Program ties to our Freedom Program. And we also have Variety Cares, where we are able to provide some medical assistance and support to our children as well. Lastly, we have a wonderful camp. It's called our Chatter Matters Camp down at Wesley Woods on the shores of Lake Geneva, where we invite 20 families, the Variety child with a physical disability, and that Variety child is also nonverbal and needs a communication device to communicate. And through a three-day, four-night camp, we have volunteers from Carroll University as well as Whitewater. Those volunteers are physical therapists, occupational therapists, speech therapists, et cetera, that help improve the communication of this child. So as they go out into the community with their families, they've got the confidence and the self-assurance that they can communicate just about as well as their other family members.
Well,
we're great.
Bob,
we just feel really excited and great to be able to share our mission with you, Rick.
We're very excited. I know both. I speak for AM Wisconsin and Arm of Milwaukee by saying that we're very excited to partner with Variety, and it's just such a wonderful cause. God bless you, Bob, and God bless the Variety, the efforts that they make for the children and their families. So thank you so much for joining me, Bob. I'll see you on Thursday, January 25th.
I'll be there on the 25th, Rick. Thanks so much.
That was Bob Menifee from Variety. I am clicking a button here to contact our next guest as we're live, people. But that was Bob Menifee from Variety, the Children's Charity of Wisconsin. Few things in life are more rewarding than helping kids with disabilities, and you can do that with Variety. Please consider donating to this worthy cause, even if you're unable to attend in person on January 25th. I started with Variety and gave Bob quite a bit of time so that you could get an idea of why this is a special charity. And when you are part of a trade association, as we are, members of ARMA and AIM, you want to be part of an association that can help provide value through information, but it's also about networking, getting to know other people, sharing information with peers in your field, and doing good things in general. So please do consider donating to Variety. Please consider coming out on January 25th. Speaking of donations, my next guest is giving both her time and talent to help make this event happen. Please welcome the principal and managing member of Knowledge Sherpa LLC and member of the AIM Wisconsin Board, Valerie Seeky Craigsman. Thank you for coming on the show, Valerie.
Thanks. So glad to talk to everyone today.
Why don't we start out by having you explain for our listeners what the acronym AIM stands for, A-I-I-M, and also tell us what AIM Wisconsin is all about, if you don't mind.
Sure, absolutely. So let me tell you about AIM Wisconsin. Similar to ARMA, right? We're a global professional association, and we're focused on intelligent information management. You notice there's two I's there, AIIM, intelligent information management. We believe that information is our most important asset, and AIM has always felt that way. Even in 1943, when we were the National Micrographics Association, so today there's lots of organizations claiming to be experts. Since 1943, AIM has been an expert in information management, right? That's before anyone ever sent the first email or had the first digital asset management project. You know, we've been around, we've seen a lot and seen trends come and go. And so we're really not just a knowledgeable organization, but we're an organization that has historical knowledge in information management.
And where could someone go to get more information about AIM Wisconsin if they were interested in just learning more in general or even becoming a member?
Sure. There's really two ways to do it. Our national organization, AIM.org, AIIM.org, has a communities area where you can find the Wisconsin chapter. And some of the new professionals in the information industry really enjoy Meetup. So Meetup.com, we have a presence there as well. We're the AIM Wisconsin Information Professionals Meetup group, so you can find us there.
Great. Now, I mentioned you're on the AIM board. When it comes to AIM, you wear a lot of different hats, don't you?
I have a couple, well, at least two formal ones and some informal ones. So I am our membership chair, and I'm also our treasurer. So in both of those roles, I work really hard with the rest of our board to ensure that AIM Wisconsin creates real value for its members and the organizations and communities its members serve. We have a presence across the state, so we are great friends with ARMA, both ARMA in Milwaukee and ARMA in Madison. We have joint events there, and we have great partnerships as well. For example, the School of Information Studies at UW-Milwaukee, we really enjoy working with the students there and helping bring those new information professionals into the Wisconsin community.
I mentioned earlier that you're donating both your time and talent to help make this event happen, and that's because in addition to helping co-host the event on behalf of AIM Wisconsin, you're also going to be presenting. And the way this is going to work is the event is going to have four different speakers who will talk briefly about various projects that they're working on before making themselves available for questions and deeper conversation during the social and networking time. So without giving too much away, tell our listeners a little bit about your personal background and also a little bit about Knowledge Sherpa LLC, please.
Sure. I mentioned UW-Milwaukee, so I did my undergraduate work in the School of Information Studies. Go Panthers! And really in my career, I was always an internal consultant almost all of those years. And so I was working on my Master of Science in Information and Knowledge Strategy at Columbia University in the city of New York and decided to start my own consulting firm, and that's Knowledge Sherpa. So I founded Knowledge Sherpa to help organizations of all sizes, nonprofits, for-profits, big, medium, small, all of them to leverage their knowledge and information in order to achieve their goals, whatever those may be. So being a guide for organizations' journey to their goals is really what Knowledge Sherpa is all about. I often talk to teams about knowledge strategy. So even in our information professions, that's sort of a new term or concept for folks. It's really about creating intentional synergy between information management and the people side of things, human collaboration. That synergy between information management and collaboration is a very powerful way to get your organizations from where it is to wherever it wants to go. So my mantra for Knowledge Sherpa is know, excel, and win. You know, so in a nutshell, my offerings include leveraging organizational knowledge as a competitive asset, helping clients with their project execution, especially information management projects, and then really helping clients win through speeding organizational change at that important intersection of people, process, technology, and culture.
And do you have a website where our listeners could find out more information about Knowledge Sherpa LLC? Is there some other means that you like to provide information?
Yeah, it's pretty easy to find me, knowledgesherpa.com. So that's knowledgesherpa, all one word, .com.
Can't wait to hear more on the 25th, Valerie. Until then, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yes. Let's talk about more than our crazy Wisconsin weather, everyone. We've had highs and lows in our weather, and we've had highs and lows in our information journey. So I really want us to share stories about what's working, what's been challenging, and where your organizations want to go next.
I agree. And I mentioned just before you joined the show that part of the entire reason that you belong to an association is for the networking. It's to get to know your peers, to be able to call somebody and ask them a question when you're going through something, because although we're across industries, we're all going through the same things. So I agree with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to seeing all our colleagues, meeting new friends, and really helping out Variety at this really terrific event.
Yeah, they're incredible. Well, Valerie, thank you again for coming on the show, and also thank you for your work with AIM and for your work in helping make this event happen.
Yeah, thanks. See you all next week.
Will do. That was Valerie Siki Craigsman representing AIM Wisconsin and Knowledge Sherpa LLC. Valerie, along with Paul Fisher, the president of the AIM Wisconsin Board, will be co-hosting and presenting at this upcoming meeting on behalf of AIM. With Valerie and Paul presenting for AIM, that leaves two spots, because I mentioned there would be four people in, four industry professionals total presenting. That leaves two spots to be filled from individuals connected to ARMA Milwaukee. One of those spots is going to be the former president of ARMA Milwaukee, Brian Bastar, who is now working with Konica Minolta. He will be manning one of the presentations, while the other spot belongs to my guest at this time. Please welcome the Vice President of U.S. Professional Services at TAB Products Company, John Enan. Thanks for coming on the show today, John.
Well, thank you, Rick. That's quite the introduction. I appreciate it very, very much.
Well, now, John, I've known you for several – I'm going to tease you now a little bit here, because I've known you for several years, and the years have been very kind to you. It wasn't until I started doing a little bit of research for the show today that I realized you've been with TAB for something like 25 years. Can that be true? What, did you get a part-time job when you were 15 and never leave?
If I just say yes, will you believe me? Excuse me. No, not that's not true at all. I actually had another 15-plus years to that, and the timeline associated with my hire at TAB, pardon me, would be a little bit more accurate, Rick. But I do appreciate the compliment.
Well, I couldn't believe it's been 25 years. I saw it.
I can't
wow.
Either.
Yeah, the years really go by fast.
They do. They do.
Well, why don't we swing right in here and have you tell our listeners a little bit about your background, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Excuse me. Well, as you mentioned, June of this year will be my 25th year working for TAB. I was hired in 1993, and actually, I guess as a footnote, I did work a little bit for TAB prior to becoming a direct hire as a subcontractor, probably about 2 or 3 years prior to 93. But anyway, I was hired in 1993 as a project manager, performing records management, quote-unquote, services for organizations across the country. Excuse me. Now, at that time, TAB was primarily a manufacturing company, and one of the things that we pioneered over the years was the concept of utilizing color coding to access hard copy files faster with less cost. So as a project manager, I traveled around the country for some of TAB's largest accounts, converting, and I'm sure some people on the phone might be able to relate to this, converting old top TAB filing systems, typically residing in 5-high vertical cabinets, to new side TAB color-coded folders, which were then placed on open shelving for ease of access. And that was primarily my role in the 1990s. For example, in the 90s, there was a lot of divestiture and acquisitions within the insurance industry. And this was an industry that really began to understand the benefits of accessing their critical business information quickly. This was also an industry that migrated heavily to color coding. CNA Insurance, for example, was one of TAB's largest accounts. I became their project manager within that account. And CNA was in an acquisition mode during the 90s, buying numerous portfolios of loans from the competition. Now, CNA would submit a database of that portfolio to TAB. TAB would generate color-coded folders for that portfolio, and I would travel, and you can imagine that sometimes these portfolios had 10 to 15 to 20,000 loans to them. I would then travel to these sites once the color-coded folders were generated and hire staff on a local basis and physically convert that portfolio from the old top-tab manila folders to a side-tab color-coded folder system and interfile them into their organization's existing files system. It wasn't very glamorous, but back in the 90s when I began to do this, again, TAB was primarily a commodity-based business, and what they realized is, in this case, when CNA purchased 18,000 new file folders, those 18,000 new file folders would show up on their loading dock one day, and there would be no resources or internal means of being able to perform that conversion. So out of this commodity-based business grew a services arm to the business, if you will, early 90s, which I was a part of. And as I'm sure everyone else on this call is well aware, the transformation of accessing critical business information has changed quite a bit since the 1990s, and especially since the advent of color coding, of which, by the way, is still a large part of our business today. However, TAB has adapted to these changes within the industry, and today, instead of converting old folders to new folders, or what we refer to or used to refer to as a paper-to-paper conversion, our core offering today is to assist organizations specifically associated with accessing and managing their critical business information. As a result, our professional services division, of which I oversee here in the U.S., continues to expand and grow with our clients' needs, of which I can say I'm still blessed enough to be a part of today.
Well, now, I want to mention this to everybody. You're going to be presenting on behalf of ARMA at this meeting on January 25th, the Joint AIM ARMA meeting. And as you began to tell everybody a little bit, I know that TAB has a national presence in records, the records industry, but you also have quite a presence here in Wisconsin. So could you please tell us about that? Tell us about TAB nationally and locally, because if I'm not mistaken, they were based in Mayville. Are they still based in Mayville nationally, or tell us about that?
You bet, Rick. Well, from a sales standpoint, TAB has offices across the United States, in just about every major market, including Washington, D.C., Boston, Dallas, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, Minneapolis. And we're also located where we have offices in about a half a dozen cities, of which I would consider probably secondary markets across the country, Ohio and New Jersey and Florida. But we also have a very large footprint in Canada with operations located in both Calgary and Toronto. But the tie to Wisconsin is an interesting one. It dates back over 50 years. As I mentioned before, TAB was primarily a manufacturing company prior to introducing services into the fold. And in the mid-1950s, TAB manufactured quite a bit of file room equipment that included metal file cabinets, if you will, furniture, and shelving. And at that point in time, our corporate headquarters was located on the West Coast. It was in San Francisco, or a little south of San Francisco, in Palo Alto. However, much of our business was here in the Midwest, as well as on the East Coast. And so the individual who founded our company decided to establish our manufacturing plant in Wisconsin, in part due to the centralized location within the United States, but also because there was a large steel company named May Steel, ironically enough, located here in Mayville. And this was the primary factor for deciding to establish our manufacturing plant in this great state. And today it is actually the site of our corporate headquarters for the U.S.
There it is. Would you tell everybody, if you don't mind, what you did with all that space. You mentioned that it used to be a primarily manufacturing center, and there were large machines that would make these folders. And as you mentioned, the industry has clearly evolved into a more electronic, less paper, less folder-based industry. What did TAB do with that space?
Well, we still have a manufacturing presence here. We still manufacture file folders, color-coded folders, or color-coded labels, I should say, and do a little bit of steel products as well. And I should preface this by saying, Rick, that TAB's footprint, if you will, within the records management industry had always been in the active cycle of a record. We used to say that we have the ability to assist organizations in managing their information from the inception of a file folder right through the death, for lack of a better term, of that record itself. We were never really in the inactive storage environment, if you will. And we are also what I would consider a more of a boutique type of a records management organization. And as a result of having a lot of customers in the active role and large customers at that, we by default were asked to basically begin a offsite storage environment for a lot of our clients. We were not intentionally going to get into that business. We don't want to be, and nor are we, an Iron Mountain. But we had acquiesced to a couple of our clients' requests and began an offsite storage company, or not a company, but started to utilize the space, to your point, that used to be occupied by machinery, and began to store inactive records for our customers. And right now we have in excess of about 98,000 records, or excuse me, boxes here in the facility in Mayville, Wisconsin.
Part of the reason I bring that up, John, is that I think it shows ingenuity and it shows that you're very resourceful. TAB is, in my opinion, it's just a really smart thing to do to help provide a service to their customers that their customers needed, and at the same time utilizing some space that used to be dedicated to some portions of the industry that aren't as hot as they used to be. So you still do create folders and things like that. And by the way, I can attest that TAB has long been part of the life cycle of records. In the 90s, in my first job ever in records management, we had a TAB software system that managed our records. So I know that TAB also does that, as you've alluded to.
Absolutely. And I will say it's funny because I refer to our company as a 70-year-old startup. And what I mean by that is over the course of the last 30 years, to your point, Rick, our industry, as everyone is aware, has changed dramatically. And as a manufacturing company, we also had to change. And we continue to change today. I would say that our company looks completely different than it did 30 years ago. And it will definitely look different in the next 5-plus years as well as we continue to transform and basically become an organization that helps other organizations in the records management industry relative to their needs today. And it's been an interesting ride over the last 25 years, and I'm really, really proud of this company, actually. I think we've done a really good job and continue to work hard at making that transition from what I believe was a primarily a commodity-based business to now migrating more into the services and technology realm of records management.
And John, that was one of the things that I wanted to highlight for our listeners. Anyone in records management can appreciate the journey that all of us have been on from as paper records moved more towards electronic in our business, our industry has changed. But what I think is important going into this event is for people to understand what a vast array of topics that TAB is involved with, and you specifically will be able to speak about with individuals if they wish to approach and ask questions. So TAB is a very dynamic company that is part of a lot of different facets of our records industry, and I really wanted to underscore that. So could you tell everybody, thank you for doing all that, could you tell everybody where they could go to get more information about TAB?
Absolutely. If anyone would like any additional information on TAB prior to the 25th, they can visit our website at www.tab, and that is TAB, T as in Tom, A as in Apple, B as in Boy, .com.
John, I'm looking forward to seeing you on the 25th. Thanks so much for coming on the show today and for helping to support a great charity in Variety by agreeing to present. Do you have any parting comments for our audience?
Rick, I'd just like to thank you as well, excuse me, not only for allowing me to share a bit about TAB at this month's ARMA AIM meeting, but also for allowing me the opportunity to be a part of the social and charity event in support of Variety. This is a great cause, and I applaud you and your team, your team's efforts in driving this initiative. So thank you very, very much for allowing me to be a part of it.
No, thank you, John. Can't wait to see you. That's John Enan from TAB Products Company. Take care, John.
Thank you, Rick. You too.
Yep. So, that's going to do it for today's show, everybody. Remember, the date is Thursday, January 25th, 2018, for the annual ARMA Milwaukee and AIM Wisconsin joint meeting. The location is the Italian Community Center in downtown Milwaukee. Registration is from 3:30 to 4 p.m. Presentations start at 4 p.m. by our industry professionals, followed by networking and social time. Go on, pop out of work early that day and stop by on your way home to support kids with disabilities through a donation to Variety. Remember that ARMA Milwaukee is pledging to donate all proceeds from the event after expenses to Variety, so just by attending, you'll be helping to raise money for a really good cause. Until next time, I'm Richard Gresky, thanking my guests on today's show, Bob Menefee from Variety, Valerie Siki Craigsman from AIM Wisconsin, and John Enan from TAB. Thanks so much for all of them joining me. So long, everybody.
Well, that's the end of the life cycle for this show. If you'd like to reach the host or one of his guests, you can contact the show via email at Gureski1@yahoo.com. That's Gureski and the number 1@yahoo.com. Until next time, thank you so much for listening. This has been another episode of the Records Guy Podcast. The views expressed on this show are solely those of the host and his guests. They are not necessarily reflective of ARMA International, ARMA Milwaukee, or the ARMA Milwaukee Board.